Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is College Basketball Wednesday, March 13th. Because Jared, I look at the games on the screen and I think to myself, this would be a nice Saturday in November on the gridiron.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. And, you know, we can only hope that these matchups live up to how good these college football games would be.
Exactly. We're getting deeper into conference tournaments. It's getting the matchups are going to be getting better every day. By the time we get to Thursday, most every team will be in action. There's a few where that's not true. By the time we get to Thursday, the game quality starts to really pick up. Friday should be even better. So a lot of great college basketball all day long, folks. More picks, information on all these games, including the ones we're going to talk about, the plays of the day, over on Dub Club, baseball starting up soon. You want to be there for that. Cousin Jared, pitch to people on why they should be here for baseball.
Baseball is the – I don't know if there's another sport where probability and statistics can be best utilized as it is in baseball. That's kind of the forte of this here program. And there are so many innings, so many pitches for – don't get me wrong. There is going to be lots of variance in a – baseball season, but there are just so many games that really the variance kind of evens out over the long run. And that's what we like to talk about here is being winners in the long run. So I feel like baseball just kind of epitomizes everything that we're about.
Very well put. And if you've been with us for any time, you know this. And if you're new, catching us here for the first time or one of the early times, we are not about, hit the lottery. We're not about, locks. There are no locks in gambling. We're about long-term success. That's what we've shown here in the many years we've been doing this. And again, even more successful with this, we're in Dub Club. You see the plays of the day, which is rock and roll. It seems like for every single sport, baseball comes soon. You want to be a part of that. So again, make sure you check us out there if you haven't yet. Biggest thing that I want to tell people as we get towards that, I don't know how to say this without, because everyone's going to say this, but I mean, the biggest thing you're going to get honest, you're going to get transparency. You're going to get projections on every single game, a lot of information, a lot of data. We shoot it to you straight. We have one of the best retention rates over on Dub Club because of that. That doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means, in general, it's a solid product. So we encourage you to check it out if you haven't yet. A lot of games on Wednesday. I'm really stoked for the next several days of just watching college basketball. It was a pretty fun Tuesday, and the game just keep getting better and better. And we're going to start off with one. That's going to be an interesting clash of styles here. UCF and BYU clash of styles because UCF does it all on defense. BYU's defense, it's gotten worse as the season has gone along. And so obviously, if UCF has any chance to make the big dance, it's going to be winning a bunch of games here in this year, Big 12 tournament. Three more, I guess they'd have to win. Four more, I don't even know how many. They have to win them all at this point. And it's going to have to start here by beating a really good a BYU team. Doing it on the defensive end, that's where they specialize. Their offense isn't anything to write home about. And that's why we're on the under 145.5. Now, it's not the largest model edge. We've been talking about this here in a handful of these games, especially the Big 12. We nailed the Big 12 under. That was a small edge on Saturday. We'll see if we can't do the same thing here. Again, it did not work for us on Tuesday in the Notre Dame game. Where those two teams scored as many points in one game with seasons on the line as they had in their previous two, because they're combined. I don't know what in the world happened. Yeah. In that game. But again, we're not going to let the result of one game deter us from this constant idea that we have here of when you see an under with the defensive talent that these teams have, no real pace, the weak offense of UCF, and a tournament and a do-or-die game for UCF, neutral court, that neither one of these teams has played at yet this season, is kind of the recipe for things being a little bit slower than projected. Cousin Jared, what stuck out to you about this one? And why you like it, even though it's only a small model edge, model saying 143.5, we're going under 145.5.
This 100% falls into the exact same category that the Iowa State Kansas State game fell into last week, where just sideline had something with Iowa State where it really liked their overs. And it was like, well, Iowa State is just a really good defensive team. I did not feel comfortable with those unders. So as soon as it gave me an opportunity to play an under, I was on it. This is the exact same thing with me for UCF. I cannot tell you how many times sideline was begging you to take an over in the UCF game, and it wouldn't have worked out for you very often if you had done that. And so the fact that it's seeing UCF, it's still telling you to play the under, it's seeing BYU's offense, which is one of the best in the country, and still telling you to play an under. This is just one of those things where I know where Sideline is biased at, and it is 100% biased to tell you to play a UCF over. So the fact that it's not
BYU over, we've played a lot of BYU overs as well.
Yeah, and so that it's telling you to play that under, that tells me something.
Yeah, it's a good point. These two teams have played twice ever, of course, both this year. Why would these two teams have played before this unless it was a random conference tournament, but or a preseason tournament? Interestingly enough, the two games played out on the home court. I mean, it's textbook the way these two games played out, like we talk about, where the home team tends to control the pace a little bit more. The matchup of these first two times these two teams played was to the extremes in a way that we don't typically see it quite play out like this. Game at UCF went 63-58. That is exactly what UCF wants to play. Insane under. The game in Provo, the type of game BYU wants to play, more offense, faster pace. That game went 90-88. I mean, just two very different type of games. I think this one's going to play out a little bit more like the one in Orlando, considering the fact that you get a neutral site, you got an early tip, and you've got a trophy on the line in a handful of days. BYU and UCF both are teams that really want to make their mark there. There's some teams in this conference tournament, Kansas, for example, who don't know the exact health of McCullough and Dickinson. No, they won't play. But we know Kansas in years past has treated this tournament very flippantly in some years. They go out there and they kind of roll the ball out there and they play. And if they start playing well, they're going to try to win it. If they lose early, they just don't care, right? That's not been their MO. They're interested in it, right? It's a very different style than what I expect from these two teams who really want to make their mark in this tournament, just constantly being the little guy. That tends to lend itself to more cautious basketball, slower basketball. So a lot of reasons to like this under here. Not the biggest value play, but one we like nonetheless, under 155.5 to start us off. But again, remember, you can get all sorts of picks and projections on every single game. Little sneak peek for you there. And Rice, Wichita State, if you're interested in that one. Don't know why you would be, but if you are, there you go. You get a little metrics on that one. You get metrics for all that stuff if you're with us on Dub Club. $5 off your first month with the link in the show description, or scan that QR code. A ton of benefits to check that out over there. We're going to stick in the Big 12 and also cover 7 p.m. Eastern, Kansas State at Texas. Because you're at a football matchup we've loved to bet on many years running now. We will not get that opportunity likely in football very often again at this point. This will also be the last time they've been basketball for a long time, other than random tournament type stuff. But we're going to go under as well. B minus, create a little bit better edge. And we've talked a lot about the Big 12, that they were a much stronger over conference really early on in the conference season. But as it went on, it was just kind of one by one, the dominoes fell. Texas turned out to be one of the few over teams that was left by the end of the season, as demonstrated by the fact that their offense is as good as their defense. But so many of the teams in the Big 12 started excelling by defense and or started really slowing their pace down, like Baylor. Baylor, of course, much better offense and defense, but their pace really slowed down. Texas State has a little bit of an over team because their offense is pretty strong, but you see their opponent, Kansas State, is kind of the same profile that we talked about with UCF just a minute ago. Good on defense, not as much on offense. We had that Kansas State, Iowa State under here this week, and a much lower number, much higher number here, but still reason to think under, because Kansas State tends to go under with the fact that their offense isn't that good and their defense is. They're actually going to play a little bit faster than Texas in this one in general. But again, with the conference tournament here, neutral site action in Kansas City, I don't expect it to be an up and down game. Because Jared, what's your take on this one?
Yeah. So number one, Kansas State all season been more of an under team than anything else. So I think defense is what they're good at. When it gets to be this time of year, of course, that is what you're trying to hang your hat on. And even more so than usual, you're trying to do absolutely everything you can to ensure that this game plays out the way that it, best fits your style. And so I think they're going to do everything they can to slow this game down and make it ugly. Texas, on the other hand, I mean, yes, they have a good offense, but defense, nothing to, kind of, I don't know. Still fine. Still good. Defense is still good. So, their offense might get a little bit more credit, but still a pretty good defensive team. The familiarity these teams have with each other, I just can't get over the fact that I think this is going to be a low scoring game. I don't see it being high scoring. To your point, in the Big 12, you've really had to have a very specific mix of teams the past handful of weeks to get an over. And I don't think this is the right mix of teams.
Kansas State, after starting off the season 6-1 to the over, as we talked about, just became a massive under team, 14 unders the rest of the season to only 9 overs. And that's in spite of the fact that they ended up playing 7 games that went to overtime. So the fact that they still had that crazy run of unders with all those overtime games is kind of impressive too. They should have had even more than that. So you're talking about a team that, again, for the most part was an under team. Doesn't mean every game went under. It just meant that's more where they leaned. And when they went over, it happened to be against teams not named Texas as the other time these two teams played. They only played once. The game went 62-56. Didn't come close to this number. And that game was in Austin. And so if you have any thought about, you know, how it's going to play out one versus the other, you know, Texas was more of an over team this year. So it wasn't like they, you know, ground this game to a halt. They're not St. Mary's. They're not, you know, Houston or Iowa State or one of those teams like that. They're pretty run-of-the-mill pace for Texas there. And that game, again, did not even get to 120. And so model projecting 139 points. It's going to get us to go under 143, just sneaks in to the B grade category. But as always, folks, you should be shopping around, getting the best price. Every point, every half point can matter. It won't matter for many games, but the ones that matter can be the difference. And at the end of the month, you're showing a profit or a loss. We encourage you to have multiple books in your portfolio. BetUS is a great one to have. If you don't have them yet, new users, 125% bonus on your first 3 deposits. Check them out if you have not yet already.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Wrap us up here with Michigan and Penn State. Cousin Jared, it feels like everybody's favorite pastime at this point is just picking on Michigan State basketball, who, you know, we can facetiously joke around about sold their soul to the devil for football to win a national title. And hey, you know, if you're a Michigan fan, you got to be thrilled about that national title. And you don't really care what happens here.
And the Lions going to the NFC Championship game. I mean, that has to do with it too.
Yeah, exactly. The basketball team started off looking okay, actually. Backed them a few times successfully early on. They looked good for the, you know, handful of games, and then it's just gone down the drain. Sideline says Penn State by 11 in this one. We're going to lay 6.5 with Penn State. B-grade value for us here. Cousin Jared, you know, my thought on this one really is simply the fact that, you know, Penn State's a solid basketball team, and Michigan is not. It's really that simple, right?
Yeah, 100% agree with you that you talked about Michigan starting out the season looking respectable. If you take that out and just look at what they've done in conference, and they had a couple of games in conference where they looked respectable, but on the whole,
and I think when you look at those, it was like they just got hot from 3 or something. Like it wasn't really,
great. If both of these teams play an average game that they have played, Penn State wins this one handily. A couple other things I like here, as we've mentioned all the time, but it's, you know, even more so now that it's win or go home. 6.5, you're still fouling. Down 6, you're still fouling at this point in the season. So definitely like that aspect of it. The other thing, and you know, it's not very often, you know, I talk about this all the time during college football, but not as much during college basketball. But if you're Michigan, like, you just want the season to be over, right?
If you didn't say it, I was going to say it.
Yeah, like, I mean, and everything that, you know, Juwan Howard can't seem to get out of his own way as far as causing a sideshow with things. And there was the incident with the trainer earlier this year where he resigned because there was an argument between Howard's son and one of the trainers. And it's just literally one thing after another off the court with this team. So, for all the reasons that I just mentioned, you know, game-wise, about how the teams have played and the fouling situation late in the game, I just think that, like, Michigan's like, you know what? I'm good. I'm like, what game was it last week where we're like, this team's already on spring break? Can't remember exactly which one it was.
Pacific, probably.
Yeah. Okay, it must have been Pacific.
Specifically, it was Pacific.
I sound like my daughter. I just think Michigan's like, they get down early. I think they're gonna be like, hey, you know what? I'm ready to go on spring break.
I was 100% going to bring up that game, and I was going to say, you know, people, I'm not saying that's going to happen here. It's almost assuredly not going to happen. The talent discrepancy is not quite that big here. Pacific was just a truly terrible basketball team. It was a different set of situations, you know, circumstances. But in similar, you know, in that of all the teams you would compare to Pacific, just in having a miserable season, Michigan's got to be one of them. And I'm not saying this happens, and they may go out there and fight for their lives. And, like, we've seen random teams like this that look like they were done with former NBA player head coaches, I'm thinking of Georgetown a few years ago, make a run in a conference tournament. You know, that's a loaded conference. A conference probably better than the Big Ten is this year, because the Big Ten's really just two teams. So it's an impossible, right? Anything can happen in sports. Anything can happen with humans. Anything can happen, especially with 19-year-old kids. That said, Michigan profiles in that, you know, there's a chance this is just, I just want to be done. I want to be out of here. This is miserable. This is terrible. And things start going south and they snowball and they just throw in the towel. And I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying, like, it's on the table here in this game. Penn State might be up by 20 at the half on this. So we got a couple different ways to win this. And like you said, the light fouling would get us there as well. Player-based model that I've built Clary out for Penn State has been out for quite a while. And all the models known that he's one of their better players, had been taking up a lot of minutes. He's not part of this team anymore, but the model still thinks that Penn State, while not necessarily a tournament quality team, is still a team that is much better than Michigan. And Cousin Jerry, before we wrap up here, I did want to touch on one other thing here. So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I'm going to go back a little bit. We'll talk about this one and all three games, but really back to that first game, UCF BYU under C minus grade according to model. How do you play that personally? Because I think there's probably people seeing the grades and they kind of know how to handle when we have a bunch of A and B grades, but when we throw a C grade at them like that, where the model is saying it's not the biggest edge in the world, how do you personally, you know, do you just say, like, I still like, I'm going to play it as a B grade? You know, I've spit out recommendations here mathematically just to try to tier things, but I'm just coding something in. I'm just curious how you handle the C grade recommendation like we gave earlier.
Yeah, I kind of play it at a B grade. I don't go the full A grade. For me to play something at an A grade level, it has to be an A grade. But I played at a B grade level just because I feel like I have watched sideline enough to know that, like, if it has flipped here, basically you could look at it as sideline has been missing these things by a letter grade. And so when I see this flip, see this C grade, to me it's like, okay, well, this should really be a B grade when you factor in the biases of sideline. Yeah, I play it about a letter grade higher than it otherwise would be.
All right. It's kind of what I assumed, but I figured, you know, people might be wondering that. So I want to get their your take on it. Here's your recap slide again. More picks, plays of the day, projections, Discord, chat. We have a lot of fun. A lot of people giving each other advice and picks, recommendations based off of their expertise in different sports. So a lot of good things happening over there. Our friend Jake dropped some more conference tournament predictions and winners that he liked earlier today over there on Discord. So a lot of things happening over there. Dub Club link in the show description. Otherwise, Cousin Jared, parting words for the people before they head into a fun day of college basketball on Wednesday.
And enjoy all of the day college basketball, because somehow we're at the point where we only have about 8 days, 9 days of it left. And then no more day college basketball, which is just gonna be very sad.
Yep, it will be. All right. That's all we got then. Thanks for watching, and we will see you again tomorrow.